Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Welcome, everybody, to Behind the Curtain. This is Paul Listick from WGN-TV, and that wonderful song, you all know it. Of course, it's from Beauty and the Beast, but the reason we're playing it is because there is an incredibly interesting production of Beauty and the Beast coming up that you are going to be able to watch, along, by the way, with the production of Les Miserables. And what's amazing about this is who's performing it and how it got done. You'll understand that as we go. Joining me now are the co-owners of the Performers School. Liz Fauntleroy is the music director for Les Miserables and the co-owner of the school, and Stacy Flaster, the director of Les Mis and the co-owner of the school as well. I'll start by saying welcome, Liz and Stacy. The Performers School, where were you when I was a kid growing up?
I don't know. You're so nice to have us.
Well, yeah, Liz, let me just... you could join us.
So Liz, that's what I mean. You guys are, you know, you come from the theater world and all that. What led you to decide, Liz, and when did you guys decide that you needed, sort of out in our burbs there, an opportunity for young people, because these shows are being performed by young people, to join in and put on incredible productions?
Yeah, well, I think before the pandemic is, you know, the school was established 8 years ago, and Stacy and I actually both met doing professional musical theater at the Marriott in Drury Lane. We were in a lot of dressing rooms together, and we've been friends for a really long time. I won't tell how many years, but we kind of joined up about 9 years ago and thought it would be a great idea to establish some sort of school, you know, for the suburbs that was kind of a top-notch school. You know, some of the classes anyone could get in, and some are audition only. So, you know, because we were both singers and dancers, and I was a teacher and she was a choreographer director, we thought that it was a really well-rounded, you know, the two of us together to form a school. So that's how it all started.
And actually, I'm going to bring in our students here, Melanie May, who is Beauty the Beast. That was her voice you were hearing, among others, in that opening clip. So, Melanie, have you always wanted to be a Broadway talent? And why do it with the Performers School as opposed to just doing it in your own school?
I mean, I've always loved like singing, dancing, and going and watching shows and stuff. And it really just inspired me to do it myself. And then my mom, she actually runs the former school, and I always saw the older kids doing all these shows, and I'm like, I want to do that so bad. And then once I got into fourth grade, I started doing troupe.
Stacy, the pandemic comes along, and of course, it's one thing for adults to kind of adapt and how they have to do it. I often talk to a lot of theater groups who have gone virtual with various things, but obviously you and Liz had a challenge because, you know, younger people, students, and, you know, the age of the folks that you guys are working with, you know, being together in person is so important. How did you decide you would tackle the pandemic during this time, Stacy?
Yeah, great question. So we had, you know, almost 70 kids in this program between fourth and high school age kids doing these two shows. And we were about to put them into production last March. And, you know, when this happened, we had to completely pivot and think outside the box. And we came up with all these different ideas, but things were shifting and changing with safety and guidelines and restrictions and all these things. And it was so important to Liz and I to keep these groups together and to keep the family, the theater families together, because these kids, they become so close-knit, and we get so close to them, and it was so important to us to not only try to find a way for them to do the shows, but also to stay together in some sort of way, whether it be virtual or or whatever. And so what we did was we had a meeting. We came up with, should we do a Zoom show? Should we do this? Should we do that? And not to criticize anything anybody else has done, but we came across Peter Marston Sullivan, the Marriott Theater Associate Artistic Director, who's also a friend and colleague of ours. And he had this wonderful idea to do this process where we would record them individually, have this theatrical experience on an individual basis, and then go in front of a green screen, and then we edit the whole thing together with backgrounds and stuff. And we were like, whoa, this sounds huge. But as the thing evolved, it just started coming together, and the kids were able to have a real theatrical experience in an on-camera kind of a way, similar to our live shows in the production values, because we kept the costumes, we kept all the production values together, but we did it safely. And that's how we did it. It just kept evolving and getting more and more important and more cool. And the parents and the kids are loving it.
And Matthew Angelaccio, I have to talk to you because, look, I love Les Miserables. I've seen it a million times. And there are roles for young people in the show, right? Cosette, and there are roles for young people. But if you said to me, who would you cast as Jean Valjean? I might say Colm Wilkinson. There are some names on Broadway I might say. But a young person like yourself might not have been the first name that came into my mind. And so when I listen to you sing this role of Valjean, and we'll hear you in a little bit, you've got one range in your voice, kid. Good job.
Thank you so much.
So let me ask you, in terms of doing this virtually, I imagine you're a lover of theater. You must study voice, right? That has to be part of what you do.
Yes.
And when you got cast as Valjean, did you look at that and say, okay, that's an amazing challenge? Or did you say, I've got this one?
Oh, I was so excited, and I definitely knew it was a challenge, but you know, everyone's been so supportive, and I've definitely learned so much throughout this experience, and it's just really exciting and fun and also challenging.
And Melanie, when people go to the, you know, they can go online. There's a clip there I think people can see, and we see you in front of the green screen doing these things. But let me ask you, because again, adults, young people, they're sort of different. Was it a difficult thing for you to do your thing alone in front of a green screen, knowing that when this all got put together, there's going to be all sorts of people in that shot?
I mean, it's a huge change from like 1 month going on stage and performing with all your friends and acting with them, to be alone on a green screen or like voicing, doing the voice tape like alone. So yes, it can be a little challenging, like not being able to act with and see where people will be in that moment, but it's a great challenge and it's very fun and exciting. And yeah, I got used to it.
And Liz, obviously because you were being very cautious with the pandemic, and as I read about how it is you did these things, just so when people watch these productions, which they must, because as I said, I've seen clips of them because I know they're not available quite yet, but they're absolutely amazing. One would never know that you put it together as you did. I know you worked with a professional company to do this, but my question to you is, for folks who say, well, at least it sounds like there's an orchestra there, they have other people, tell us, that wasn't the case, was it?
Well, how we did it was pretty an incredible process, you know, not only for, you know, Stacey, me and our staff, but also all of these kids, because the process was pretty intricate. And it started with rehearsals on Zoom with the cast, and they had to learn all their music and the choreography on Zoom at first. Then they went with our orchestrator into a room socially distanced with plexiglass between them. And each child went one at a time and literally recorded the whole score. So each track was recorded separately, socially distanced. And then our orchestrator actually went home and spent hours layering it over an orchestra track. So it took hours and hours. Then they went and got costumed and went with Marcy McCoy Media, who actually put them, as you know, in front of a green screen individually, one at a time, and then he layered them into the scene. So it's pretty incredible because it is cinematic. It's like a movie rather than just a live streaming musical. So it's the product is going to be unbelievable. We're very proud.
Yeah, the samples already are. Stacey, as the director of Les Miserables, I mean, once again, those are challenges. It's one thing to have a bunch of students in front of you on a stage and direct them. Mm-hmm. That's probably what you had wanted to do. How does the role of a director change when you're going, yeah, let's use that clip and let's move that kid into the shot? I mean, right? It's a whole different thing for you.
That's a great question, and nobody's asked me that. And I'll tell you, I had a little bit of a mourning period where I had to kind of go, I wanted to like physically move these kids around, and I wanted to have some of these moments, you know, in this show, and this was my dream, and to do this with them, and it was coming together last year so beautifully. But I will say, it has been so rewarding to be able to communicate what I wanted to the director of photography, Peter Marston Sullivan, through voice memo. You know, Charlie needs to turn his head just to the right to 3 o'clock so that he can see Valjean to his left, you know, and like things like that. And I want this connection to happen there. And I want this. So it took a whole different kind of a language to communicate my direction through. And I wasn't in the room with them. So through Zoom, we worked with each kid, you know, but we weren't, you know, there's no tactile, like I couldn't touch or feel or do anything, you know. And I just had to kind of communicate through the screen. And by the way, I should mention, we haven't met every single actor in our production in person yet, because some of the kids were new this year. And so some of these kids that we're seeing doing this wonderful work that we've given them on the screen, we've never met, but we've met them through Zoom. And it's just this wonderful way of creating relationships. But it was a different thing for me as a director to have to kind of let go and just like sort of give my information to the director of photography. And then he in the room gave them my information with his own information and then created the picture, you know, because that's what we had to do. We couldn't do it together. We couldn't, because that would have defeated the whole purpose of socially distancing if we were all in the room together doing it, you know.
Yeah. And,
so it was
and,
a really good process.
In that, one of the clips I saw, there, you know, there's several of you in the scene, and so were you being directed? How did you sort of have a sense that, yes, there are people, they're not here right now, I'm all alone, but I have to sort of acknowledge that there are people around. Is that just the actor in you?
Well, so, like, Stacey would give Peter instructions, and I would already know kind of the instructions, but when I got there, you know, really in front of the green screen, Peter would direct me and say like, oh, Cosette's over here and you're seeing Fontaine over here. And then I had to kind of like memorize where everyone is. And you have to like think of like the height of people, so you're not looking like too far up or too far down. And you kind of have to like feel and play off of what you think they're going to do. So it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, when you get back to the live stage, that'll be a piece of cake next to what you had to do for this production. You know, I complimented you on your voice earlier. And again, because, and Melanie, you're fantastic too. But when you think of Les Miserables, I mean, that is just not an easy role to do. It's tough. So to prove my point, I'm going to play a little bit of you, Matt, singing Who Am I?
Who am I? Who am I? I'm Jean Valjean. And so Javert, you see it's true, this man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 24601.
I'm jealous, Matt.
Thank you so much.
You did a great job. Melanie, you, of course, did as well in the singing. Liz, do people have to audition for the school? I mean, do you sort of say, okay, Matt, Melanie, you're in because you've got talent, but hey, there's a kid over there. Not so much. Maybe we're not going to let that kid in. Or do you encourage everybody to let the kids develop on their own?
Well, we actually have classes that kids can develop on their own because we feel everyone should, you know, be able to take an acting class. But we do have these audition-only groups where you do have to audition. And sometimes for the ensemble, which is a 6th through 8th grade group, and for Les Miserables, we did through high school as well. We can have like over 90 people auditioning for some 30, 40 slots. So it's very, very competitive to get in these two groups.
So, Melanie, before Beauty and the Beast, what did you do any shows? Is this your first show with the Performer School?
No, I've done a couple of shows in the past, including Annie and Shrek with Troupe.
Cool. So then you are back. And Matt, what shows did you do before tackling Valjean?
I started around 6th grade. I was in Bye Bye Birdie and Newsies and Hairspray and in Little Shop of Horrors. And I've been in many different plays as well and kind of just, you know, gaining experience along the way.
You know, Stacey, these are the kind of shows, when I listen to the plays you've done, I mean, this is the stuff of regional theater, local theater. You are tackling some big productions here. This is no easy task.
Yes. Well, you know, I agree. And, you know, Liz and I have done, we've done Cats, Footloose and, you know, live. And, you know, as each time we do a hard show or something that we feel is complicated, it just kind of pushes us to do something else. And, you know, we realize that some of the subject matter in Les Mis is a little bit, you know, above their heads, or maybe a little bit, you know, bordering on, you know, lovely ladies, let's just say that. But that being said, you know, we're not trying to get kids to do adult material. We were trying to explore, you know, the depth of some kind of material and also allow them to sing this show and do this. It was just an idea to do this opera. And then it just came together. And the kids were confused at first by it, you know, when we were in person. And then they fell in love with it. And you should see the way they perform it. And it's so ironic that in the middle of this thing where they're begging and they're asking, you know, they're begging in the show and they're the beggars at the feast and all these things. And then we have a pandemic in the middle of it. And it was almost like mirroring our show. And so now when we came back to it after all this time, they were able to kind of use their experience and heighten the process.
Yeah, talk about method acting. You know, you have that full time. And when you, Stacey, when you pick slow or select shows, I mean, I know, for example, I was in Florida and saw a high school production, I think it was high school basically, of Avenue Q. And I went because I went, you can't do Avenue Q on the stage. I mean, Matt, Melanie, close your ears. But there's lots of bad language in it. There's just stuff you can't do. It turns out that there is a student version of that. Is that the case with the shows that you are picking? Are these original scripts, or like you mentioned, songs from Les Mis, or are there modifications that are authorized so that young people are not saying words maybe we don't want them to say?
Well, we're doing the school edition of Les Mis, and as you're saying, it is not modified. None of the lyrics are changed like they are in the school edition of A Chorus Line or the school edition of Heathers, because I've worked on both of those shows. I've worked on many shows at different schools outside of our school. This one does not modify any words at all. So, you know, when we're choosing this, we really want to make sure that when we're not heavy handed about what we're doing, but we're explaining to the kids what they're saying and what they're singing. But for some reason, it does not come off as gross or indecent. Does that make sense? There's something about it that's very honest and very pure.
Well, I think that's it. And there's an innocence that they bring to these roles and to the performances. So, Melanie, here's your chance, because Liz and Stacey are listening. What role do you want to play in the future? What show do you want them to do for you?
I would love, obviously Heathers and Mean Girls have the best language too, but I love those shows. Matilda.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to say Wicked.
Oh yes, Wicked.
Okay.
I was supposed to see it in New York, and I was really looking forward to it and listening to the music, and that'd be a really fun role to play.
Well, hopefully you'll get to see it in the fall. A close friend of mine plays Madame Morrible in that show, so I hope you do get to see it. And Matt, you know, you can take on some tough singing and some tough roles. So in the future, they might cast me and you in the show City of Angels. You can look that up. We can play the writer and the character in that. But,
ooh,
but before,
I like that.
Uh-huh, right, good one. But Matt, what show would you like to perform in?
I'm really interested in Jekyll and Hyde now. I'm singing This Is the Moment for one of my recitals, and I think it's a really awesome show.
Yeah, that's a really good... Wow, I didn't expect that you would say that, but that makes total sense. And it also means Phantom of the Opera will have to be in your repertoire as well.
Yeah.
So Liz and Stacey, I thought so. Make a note about that. You've got such great talent here with Matt and with Melanie. Well, the key thing is, before we go, I've got to... You know, people have to know how to watch... I can't wait to watch these things. They do screen at different times. So, Liz, let me start with you. The first one up is going to be Les Miserables. How will people watch it at home?
Okay, well, what they do is they can go to our website, which is www.theperformersschool.com. And right on the website, there's going to be a link where they can buy tickets, just like you're going to see a movie. It's through ShowTix. And the shows start May 21st, that weekend, for Les Miserables, as well as the next weekend, the 28th. And Beauty and the Beast will run the weekend of the 28th and then the weekend of June 4th. So it's right on our website as far as, you know, buying tickets.
And, Stacey, in doing this, I noticed that they stream at certain times, 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. So I want to be clear about that. Is this sort of like going to the movie at 7 o'clock? be in your seats and put it on the big screen, or can one stream it at their on their own?
No, actually, that's a great question. They need to stream it at the time where they selected it at 7 o'clock. Be there, be square, and you're on your couch or in your backyard with your giant screen or however you want to do it. But you do have to do it at the time that you selected. It's not open to any time when you get that link.
And so that's going to be Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. So those times make a difference. And you do have tickets available for a single purchase or a family, or you even create a price for a COVID-safe viewing party, which means Matt and Melanie can have all their friends over and just have everybody watch it on the big screen in a COVID-safe viewing party, right?
Exactly.
Well, good luck. As I said, you know, when I heard about this school, I thought, well, we're just going to see another one of these Zoom performances, with all due respect, because that's the way things have to be right now. And so I wasn't terribly excited. And then I saw what it is you have done, and I was absolutely blown away. Blown away not just because of how great this looks, so my compliments to you, Liz and Stacy, but to Matt and Melanie, your performances and your level of talent for being such a young age. I don't mean to, I hope you find that to be a compliment. I mean it as a compliment, but to be so young and to have that kind of talent, is just really, it's really impressive. And I look forward to watching
both of you.
And when I'm like knocking on the stage door in the future, when you're on Broadway and they say there's this guy named Paul outside, try and say, okay, I'll meet with him, as opposed to keep the door closed and don't let him in.
Okay.
So what's,
she said, okay.
Right. Although Liz and Stacy, I can't make you the same promise. They may or may not let you in, so that's up to you.
Oh, I'll get you tickets to anything you want to see. Anything you want to see.
All right. Well, Liz Fauntleroy, music director for Les Mis, co-owner of Performers School, and Stacy Flaster, director of Les Mis, co-owner of the Performers School. And we should send everybody, because by the way, people listening to this, if they've got young people, again, the ages you work with, the grades, Liz?
The ages we work with start in second grade and go all the way through high school right now. So, yes, wide range.
Incredible. So the website is theperformerschool.com. Yes, please, go ahead.
No, I wanted to say that, you know, Melanie had mentioned the Troupe. There's two groups. The Troupe is the Beauty and the Beast group, and the Ensemble is the Les Mis group. So they're actually groups that people can audition for, and we do currently have auditions going for that. And our director, Lisa Sobelman, did Beauty and the Beast. And, you know, Liz and I run the other group. So we have two different groups, and that's how that's when she kept saying Troupe, and I didn't want to confuse the audience.
Gotcha. No, great clarification. I knew it, but I should have clarified it myself, so that's great. The website is theperformersschool.com. To my guests, Liz Fauntleroy, Stacy Flaster, Matthew Angelaccio, Melanie May, congratulations. Can't wait for these things to open. Break a leg, everybody. Again, theperformerschool.com. And when the show launches on the website, this podcast, I'll have the link there so people can check it out as well. Thank you, everybody. Do great work.
Thanks for having us.
Keep in touch with the upcoming shows. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
you. Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.